everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bias Check-In.
Hi, everyone.
So, Claudia, what are we checking in with this week? And also, if you notice, we have an audio improvement. We got new mics.
And as you can tell, we are not excited about it in the slightest. But this week, we want to touch on a topic which has been making the news for a couple of weeks. And while you know we're all about a good laugh, this episode might be a bit more serious with the occasional dark humor and sarcasm. We're talking about Roe versus Wade, its leaked, foretold repeal, and what it means for all of us, whether we bear children, choose not to, love someone who does, or work anywhere where we interact with people. We are both pro-choice, but beyond the ethical implications, moral, religious beliefs, what have you, experts better than us have spoken to all of these aspects and motivations and readings of the situation. We will look at what will happen and that has started to happen in the workplace.
Yes, we're both pro-choice, but this, and we're not going to talk about the legal aspect, the medical aspect, but this is a people issue. So, as the OG listeners might remember, one of our stated objectives in starting this podcast was to bridge gaps between international students, foreign professionals, and the American way of life and work, including its employer-based access to healthcare through work-based insurance. Several big names in the U.S. market already offered coverage for their employees to have access to safe abortions, either because of the organizational values or because, you know, it's a medical service covered by medical insurance for medical needs, or for short, a human right.
Absolutely. But now, what happens if, say, I'm working for a supportive company in a non-supportive state after the repeal? Say if I have to take time off, travel across a bunch of states, as supportive states will be few and far between once and if this goes through.
Yeah, so that's what a few companies like Citi, they have a female CEO, Jane Fraser. They have already made statements about it. They will cover the cost of travel and any non-medical expenses incurred by employees to access healthcare. After making this announcement, though, they have been A, threatened with termination of contracts from the federal government, and B, threatened with a lawsuit in Texas to prevent Citi from underwriting municipal contracts. Because it's not okay for people to protest outside the Supreme Court with clothes hangers. But somehow, a national government targeting corporations for internal policies is. So,
you know, we are not likely to often be the advocates for corporations to be defended from the government. Usually, you know, the whole spiel, checks and balances. Corporations are not real people. They're just legal people identities. But to target a corporation this pointedly, this transparently, because it's giving its employees access to a medical service, it's a little bit too new season of The Handmaid's Tale, like little too on the nose there, Atwood. But speaking of The Handmaid's Tale, let's stay in Texas. Metaphorically speaking only. Between the lawmakers, the current heat wave, and all of the voicing of dissent of companies like Citi and in the tech sphere, they've got a lot going on. So far, Apple, Match Group, Yelp, and Amazon have joined Citi in voicing support for their employee and workforce to continue to receive access to medical care. These are just the companies that we are currently aware of. There will probably be more speaking up soon. And this is really a twofold effort to, on one hand, retain and attract talent, and on the other side, to cut down costs. Remember when they used to lull us in with nap pods, ping pong rooms, the occasional kegger on a summer Friday? fundamental human rights are just the latest hip thing, fellow kids. Maybe they're going to give us the right to housing in the major cities in the US next. That would be nice. And by housing, we do not mean a four-digit studio that is more than half of your paycheck. But to be continued in another episode, this is especially true, the recruiting through defending civil rights, especially as millennials, Gen Zs, are characterized as choosing employment not only on money and benefits, but also on the congruence of values. So this is absolutely a retainer and recruitment instrument, no matter what language we spin around it as well. If you're interested in reading more about it, Lizzie Lawrence wrote a great piece for Protocol on it. But she also noted how, so far, only the big companies will speak up and possibly act on the repeal, going so far as to provide those measures and that support to employees, or even considering relocation of their employees or of their headquarters to states where medical access is not an uphill battle.
But outside of organizations, small, medium, large, or industry giants, even the Treasury Secretary of the U.S. spoke up about the incredible damaging effects that this overturn would have on the U.S. economy. And again, this is from the strictly business case. If a business case needs to be made about human rights, though.
Which, again, does it? Do we really need to put the numbers on it?
In this Forbes article, individual states that restrict abortion face significant economic penalties for doing so. Abortion bans and restrictions cost taxes $14 billion per year. In Missouri, GDP would increase by 1% if all abortion restrictions were lifted.
Not to take a easy jab at Texas, but are you sure you don't want to spend that on your infrastructure so you don't lose it the next time you get 2 inches of snow? Just, you know, not a policy expert here, but just thinking, priorities, those things.
$1,610, that's how much higher 15 to 44-year-old women's earnings would be on average if all state-level abortion restrictions were eliminated. So lifting restrictions would allow 105,000 additional women ages 15 to 44 to join the workforce, earning a combined $3 billion per year.
So, in other words, we are shorting the workforce. Is that in a single state or in the US?
If all state-level abortion restrictions were eliminated.
Okay. So we're shorting the country $3 billion US dollars, plus all of the indirect sunk costs of these policies, the attention they require, the time that is taken away from other policies, and all of the additional costs that those women, their families, their social networks will incur in potentially taking on the duties of childcare, childbearing, and all of the challenges that this incurs.
So this is saying, yes, but also this is saying that like lifting restrictions would allow 500,000 additional women to join the workforce, earning that combined $3 billion. But also, of all the workforce that this would impact, would earn a combined $101.8 billion more annually if the restrictions were lifted.
This is in the same country where we complain that there's a workforce shortage, right? Okay, just checking. I need a minute. No. But as we're discussing these practices, and as you're listening to us, again, we may disagree. We may come of it from different positions, but we will be discussing these practices as IO professionals, as people working with other people. It's going to be hard to avoid this topic, whether we are at the water cooler, in board meetings, we're deciding how to support our employees or what statement to put out. And the Society for Human Resources Management actually provided a few guidelines on how to foster productive conversations on the topic. So we want to give them a quick shout out. And again, keep remembering that these conversations are always better off fostered than stifled in the workplace. Think of how controversial this decision can be. A recent study found that the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized access to abortion at the federal level was viewed as being more contentious among workers than discussions about the Me Too movement, the election of the 45th U.S. president, and it was just slightly less controversial than conversations involving LGBTQ rights, including civil unions and gay marriage. Spirits will run high. So the SHRM recommends to foster those conversations very intentionally, foster the feeling of supporting each other and getting into the right mindset. Begin the conversation, set the stage, let everyone know what will or will not be tolerated in those spaces. Listen to understand where other people in your community may be coming from, what is informing their point of view, their beliefs, and supporting a we attitude, which we like you, SHRM, but that is the most HR language I've read today. Remembering yourselves that you're in this together and we're working toward a shared goal of improving the culture at your company.
And I do want to touch on one thing from this article from SHRM. They talk about how you have to be committed to having the conversation. And I think that's really important because sometimes we get pulled into a conversation or we hear something happening at the water cooler and we come up with our beliefs. And if you're going to have the conversation about Roe v. Wade, about overturning Roe v. Wade, about whatever is happening with Roe v. Wade, before having the conversation, think through what you want to talk about, why you want to talk about it, and what's going to happen if it doesn't go your way. You have to be an active listener. You have to participate and be an active listener. Amazing. Kudos to you. But again, like, it's a decision.
And ultimately, remember that sometimes just being a listener is okay too. Kind of wish the senators and the justices got that memo, but, you know, keep in mind that a lot of us, of course, have very heightened responses. It's a topic that a lot of people are going to have very strong feelings about. If we go at this as in, I know my position is right, and I'm not willing to entertain other perspectives, those conversations are not going to be what's going to get you the employee of the year at the next company party. What it is going to do is harm yourselves and your relationships with your coworkers. So as with everything, proceed with caution, even more so when it's something so delicate.
But ultimately, as people, as we said about millennials and Gen Z, but also independently of what year you were born, vote with your body, vote with your feet, and with your money. Join mobilizations, pledge, join protests, talk to the people in your network, talk to your family, talk to your friends, to your coworkers. And as we head into the midterm elections and prepare for the 2024 national election, we must center public health in the public debate for elected officials. You can ask your elected officials and local candidates where they stand on reproductive rights and demand their commitment to protecting abortion. To fight back, research your candidates and spread the word. Also, donate. Across the country, abortion funds are helping people access care by providing financial assistance to patients in need.
call your representatives, call your friends and make sure that they are registered to vote. Even though we cannot vote the justices out, we can vote out the people that support them and the people that select them and anyone who's willing to vote to do something to your body or the body of a loved one that you don't agree with. And keep in mind that even for those of us who do have the privilege of having the means to pursue all of the options that we might want to choose and pursue, that have supportive employers, that have supportive state, local governments and regulations, we owe it to each other and to a community to keep in mind those who may not have the same choices as we do. As the ability to determine one's body and choosing whether to have a child or not interacts with all of the other identities that we can bring to the table, a lot of the doors that may be open for yours truly may not be open for someone else. So even when your personal rights are taken care of, make sure you check in with those around you.
Happy to recommend Freakonomics is one of my favorite books. Freakonomics podcast. They have many episodes, and it's in the book, about the theory linking Roe v. Wade to massive crime drops in the states, the challenges, updated analysis, and what it means for abortion policy and crime policy.
Thank you for that other piece of literature. Absolutely. Freakonomics is an amazing resource. It's actually the first place I learned that this medical procedure and planning families had such a big economic impact. So great, great, great starter point. Educate yourself, do your own research. If you want to read more, we try to name all of the sources we've used. We're glad to share more that just didn't make it into the episode. There's plenty that will relate to any identities that you may bring to the table, that your loved ones may bring to the table. So no matter what, make sure to take care of your rights, take care of the rights of those around you, vote with your feet, with your vote, and with your money, and support the corporations or the organizations and the groups that do stand up for the things you believe in. And even though we're all burnt out, even though we've all been living in a state of intense crisis for longer than anyone ever should, try to slow down for a second and see if you can find that ounce of grace to have those very intentional conversations with anyone you're around that may feel a way about this and feel heightened emotions around this issue. There's plenty of us. So talk it out.
With that, Claudia helped me find the word, but I was so moved by all the protests happening last week because of all the trauma and the burnout of the past 2 years. When the news broke last week, I really thought people were just gonna take this like, well, now this is happening and there's nothing I can do about it.
I saw some people taking it that way, and that's why I will always advocate there isn't a single living person that this does not affect. Don't fight me. Call your mother if you think differently. But it has been very moving, and it's been very, very empowering for me to see all of the public figures that have come out and shared their stories. Mm-hmm. While I don't think anyone owes us their story to make this a more real or more pertinent issue, I still do truly, thoroughly appreciate seeing that representation, because this has not been talked about nearly enough. And it's still not a comfortable topic, even behind closed doors.
Definitely giving it the visibility it needs, because this is not okay and we should not let it happen. But also the normal people, the us that I see protesting, all the places, all the states, all the capitals that did have protests. Chicago just did it on Sunday too. Those are the ones that move me, because those are the people that I know will continue to fight. And it's horrible. It's going to sound horrible. Excuse me, but I'm so happy that we're still fighting. That we're not giving up.
It's definitely a little bit bittersweet. It's definitely a silver lining, not a celebration. But I see your point. I think it's worth acknowledging. It's worth making all of those efforts visible. And again, keep in mind, if you don't see yourself represented in this conversation, you're not the only one feeling that way, most likely. There are current legal efforts to protect the right to accessing abortive services and medical services, and to codify that through the House and the Senate before the Roe versus Wade decision is repealed. The records of how that will be voted on will be public. So again, I cannot stress this enough, maybe because I cannot vote in this country. But if you can, speak up to your representatives, show them what you stand up for.
And with that, this was a very difficult episode. Not easy to swallow, but so, so very important.
Thank you so much for checking in with us. If you are so inclined, let us know what you think, where you stand, how is it going in your workplace? How are those conversations taking or not taking place? Send us a DM. Let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at @biascheckinpodcast. Send us an email, biascheckin@gmail.com. Or if you're so inclined, send us a voice message on anchor.fm. And as every episode goes, I would ask if you're inclined to send us a tip. But you know what? This week, make a donation instead.
She meant sponsor us, but yes, donate it somewhere.
And do your research on where you send your dollars.
Absolutely. But thank you for checking in this week.
Thank you, everyone. Let's talk next week.
See you in the next one.